What's he doing?
He was just trying to get in the grocery bags, fucking, because you know how he is with plastic.
Really? Well, then it seems that the cat is out of the bag.
No, Kevin.
I'm done with the new music.
Hip-hoppy-wop-bop.
Made a fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist. It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome yet again to Made of Fail. I'm Kevin.
I'm at Will Wheaton! I mean, I'm Dana. Hi.
Hi. So, you had fun, then?
Yes, I did. I had very, very, very much fun.
Listeners, if you're not entirely certain what we're talking about, over this last weekend, Dana did attend Emerald City Comic Con, and, well, why don't you give us a rundown of what happened?
I met Will Wheaton.
What else?
I met Will Wheaton.
There, okay, and what else?
He hugged me. Yeah.
Fan mail!
No, it was, oh, God. Well, if you follow me on LiveJournal, you've probably heard all of this already. But if you don't, okay, so here's a good story. So, very first thing I have to do, I have to give a great grand thank you to our dear fan, Evie, who basically paid for my trip. Other fans, please don't ever do this. There were extenuating circumstances. I really don't accept something that generous, but like I said, there were excuses, and it didn't take a lot to convince me to say yes, but I'm not doing that again.
Have an episode about how appropriate people should treat their fans and the other way around?
Yeah, I turned her down like 50 times, and then she told me something that made me, you know, say yes, and everybody thought that I was going to end up either raped in an alley, or that I would wake up in a hotel bathroom in a tub full of ice with a big, sucking, gaping flesh wound where my kidneys used to be.
Do you still have kidneys?
I'm fairly certain that I think I'd notice the sucking flesh wound, Kevin.
All right, I'm just saying, because with your body, I mean, who knows what's still there.
What's happening to my body? Reflections on waking up in a tub of ice.
What we need is that after-school special kind of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, from Ren and Stimpy when they do the...
I'm not fetching that sound.
No. Okay. Anyway. you know where I'm going.
So, I have all my limbs. I have all my organs. And I actually had a really great time. She was there with two more of our fans, Ellen and Dana, with no Y. I should just call her Little D. Except she's got a really nice rack, so maybe I shouldn't call her Little.
Little Double D?
I'm going to get in so much trouble with her, you fucking sexist pig. Anyway.
Hey, you know, you put it in front of me. I did. We love you.
Yeah. Big snaps to Evie and Ellen and Dana, who were just friggin' awesome. And, so Friday night, even before the con, right? We were looking for karaoke places, and we found this Korean karaoke place in the suburb called Ooh. Federal Way. So if you live in Seattle and you're anywhere near Federal Way, I think it's like a half hour, no, maybe 20 minutes, I don't know how far away it is. But it's called First Avenue Karaoke. You got to go there. And here's how it's better than American karaoke bars. You go to an American karaoke bar, you gotta wait for like 20 minutes to sing your song, you gotta listen to all these other douchebags sing, you know, smell of smoke, a bunch of drunken assholes catcalling you, whatever. But with Asian karaoke, they give you your own room. Like, you rent it by the hour, and insert inappropriate joke here. And so you basically only bring your own douchebags. And it's great. And they were like, it was all sparkly and dark, and there were two TVs that were playing like Korean soap operas or something underneath them. I don't know what it was, like underneath the lyrics. And you had two microphones, and Kevin, guess what else they had?
What else did they have?
They had two tambourines.
Rock it.
And I'll have you know that I tambourined.
Just for me?
Just for you.
Awesome. Did you do any Jim Blossom songs?
I didn't, they didn't have Hey Jealousy, and that's the only one that I can sing, but, I sang so many songs. I have such a bad, like, I don't sing in front of people, so I get, like, major, major kudos on our, you know, on episode 21.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which was your idea, too, so that's
I know.
I'm trying
to conquer my fears. Everyone here knows that I've got a really bad panic disorder. Which I have to get to a while further down my storyline lane, whatever. I can't really verb or talk because I'm still kind of Will Wheatening.
Yeah, so, Cleo sorry. Was mentioning that that entire day you were like, Will Wheaton.
That's like that episode Wheaton, of The Simpsons that Who Shot Mr. Burns, where Mr. Burns wakes up from his coma and all he goes is Homer. Homer, Homer. Homer Simpson, Homer. That's what I was doing, only Will Wheaton. It was so bad. And,
yeah, so we had that episode about, you know, crazy stalker fans and what not to do.
Shut up! I was very cool in front of him. I did not stalk. I was awesome. But anyway, finishing up the karaoke thing, we all got up and did Never Gonna Give You Up. And, I don't remember, like, all the things that the girls sang, but I did Celebrity Skin and Malibu by Hole. And because they didn't have any Buffy songs, because it's a very limited amount of English songs, we just sort of like went without any backing track, and we all had to pick out like who was going to do what, and we all did I've Got a Theory, Bunnies, If We're Together. And Ellen just rocked the Bunnies part. Like, she was really into it. Like, she was doing the gestures and everything, and oh, it was so cool. And but then when I was doing Buffy, and when I got to the, you know, What Can't We Face If We're Together part, I flubbed the lines because I've been singing the Made of Fail version for so long to myself. Like, I'll be doing the dishes and singing it because I'm such a dork.
Yes,
little glimpse into my home life there. God, I don't know why people like me. So, okay. So the big day was Saturday, right? That was the day. That was con day.
Con!
So we all get there. And noon was the Will Wheaton awesome hour, and it was Will Wheaton, and he was awesome, and it was an hour, so, you know, you get what you pay for. And he basically just told a story from one of he told the, like, the Star Wars action figure story from one of his books, and he took a couple of questions, and I didn't ask anything because I was, like, scared to death. And I recorded the whole thing on my cell phone, and I shouldn't have done that because it came out really badly, and I had to scrap the entire thing. Because the sound quality was just awful, so I couldn't post it to YouTube or anything. But, oh, he was wearing he lost a bet with Aaron Douglas about the Olympics, so he was wearing, like, a team, you know, he was wearing a Canada hockey jersey. But then he stood up, and he lifted it, and underneath it he was wearing the Three Wolf Moon t-shirt.
Awesome.
You know what? You know what's really funny is that, the whole wolf t-shirt craze thing, it's my ex-boyfriend Howie. He was wearing those, like, way, way before it was ever cool. So, judging by that, yeah.
I hate to break it to you.
Yeah?
It was never cool.
It's totally cool right now.
Will Wheaton's wearing a t-shirt. Ironically.
If Will Wheaton is wearing a t-shirt with wolves on it, it's cool.
Yeah, the Three Wolf Moon thing, that's just the Amazon joke. And you know what? Jinx.com has a better one. They've got the Three Worgen Moon.
Well, fuck your Worgens. It was awesome. But if we're judging by what Howie used to wear, take note, people. The next big t-shirt craze, unicorns.
Fuck I'm yeah, unicorn. Saying. Jeff Jax is gonna love that shit. He's a big fan of unicorns.
Oh,
so
that's who else I met. So after the Will Be Awesome Hour, I go downstairs, and that's the big Artist Alley thing. That's where the whole, you know, the con was taking place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet Jeff Jax. and he drew something really awesome for us that we will probably post on a later episode, depending on how certain things go. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'll say that he was very, very cool. And just assume that every celebrity comics guy that I met got a made. I was there kind of 10% on business. I was doing the made a fail PR. Everybody
we ordered
got
buttons. We'll put pictures up. We ordered buttons. They came out absolutely wonderfully. Our friend Emily, who has been on the show before, gave us a graphic, and we got. Well, I ordered 50 of them, and they charged me for 50 of them, but I took like a half dozen, and Dana was giving out like a crap
load. By the
load,
time I was done,
and there's still 40 left. So I'm sure they.
There were 38 left when I was done, and I know I gave out way, way more than 12.
Yeah, so they charged us for like 50, and they gave us a lot. So.
It's like the fishes and the loaves in that bag, I swear to God. But hey, I'm not complaining. I am definitely not complaining. I think I saw a spike in our numbers, actually, after I got back. So,
mm-hmm.
Go me! Fun. Who's the PR agent? Yeah, what?
Rock on.
So, anyway... So we do have plans for more buttons, t-shirts. It sort of depends on, you know, whether or not I get a goddamn job. And So I also met Aaron Lopresti, who drew Wonder Woman. And, God, I'm like blanking out on almost everybody else. But I have the best story. Let me tell you who Sterling Gates is. Sterling Gates is Jeff Johns. Oh, I also met Jeff Johns. He's doing all the Green Lantern, Blackest Night, just got promoted to like a big creative officer type guy at DC. He was discovered by Jeff Johns, and he started writing. He started off in the back of a Green Lantern book, writing a story about the Crib, the Sinestro Corps member, and it was really creepy, and everybody at DC liked it, and it was really well received by fans, and so they gave him the Supergirl writing gig, which, thank God, because that book had been written so inconsistently, and nobody could get a handle on Kara's personality, and it was just going straight to hell, and he just sort of hand-waved and said, kryptonite poisoning. Okay, now she's cool again. And we just took it. Just, thank you. Okay, we'll accept that. Every book before, every issue before you started writing is we'll just, you know, a wizard did it.
It's magic, we don't have to explain it.
Shut the fuck up. No, those are the other guys.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So, what you don't know about Sterling, he's getting some really choice gigs at DC now. Like, he's getting, like, Last Stand of New Krypton. He's doing all kinds of, like, War of the Supermen stuff. Like, the big events happening in the Superbooks right now, there's a lot of them being done by Sterling Gates, and he's such a good writer. I really, really love his stuff. But what you don't know about him is that he's a huge geek. And he loves horror movies, he loves old school Nintendo, he loves the angry video game nerd, he loves grunge music, he's like a year younger than me. And so we were kind of twittering at each other for some time before all this happened.
That's what she said.
And yeah, don't steal my fucking lines, man. That's what
you have one line.
And don't steal it. People need to like me, Kevin. Everybody has to like me. Nobody likes you.
That's okay. I've got a story of my own, but we'll get to that later.
Ladies.
Ladies.
So anyway. God, Kevin, you're really skeeving me out when you do that.
I have lots of practice.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it. Your girlfriend's going to listen to this episode and like...
Hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Anyway, so Sterling Gates.
So Sterling Gates got added to ECCC at the very last minute, and he was so excited. And I'm like, yay, I'll make some time to come and see you. He's like, sweet, I can't wait to meet you. Just, you know, think about that for a minute. Like, this is my life now because of this podcast.
Just because of because of, you know, Cleo and everybody else. But yeah, because of the show.
No, because of you, man. You were the one with the fateful text. So, dude, thank you for thinking of me and putting me on this show. And
what can I say? I am a veritable font of optimism.
Yeah, also masochistic, because you keep me on. You keep not paying me, and I keep coming back. So anyway, so I get to his table. Before I get a word out of my mouth, literally, I have not even introduced myself. He stands up, you know, spreads his hands like he's going to give me a hug or something. He's like, hey, Dana! And I'm like, my brain's sitting there going like, what? And I'm like, dude, how the fuck did you recognize me? And he goes, well, who else is going to be wearing a made of fail pin? You know, cue audience canned laughter here sort of thing. And so there was, like, nobody else in line because there was a panel going on or something. And so we were talking about Nightmare on Elm Street and Frozen and all the other, you know, cool movies and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure I can announce this. He has expressed serious interest in being on Made of Fail.
Yeah,
wild applause! Wild applause! Yeah! Yeah! Oh, pelvic thrusting and triumph doesn't really work when you don't have a penis, but, anyway.
Duffman is thrusting in a positive direction. Oh, yeah!
Oh, God. We're going to have to... No, don't edit this, because you just cracked me up. Oh, Kevin, I miss you.
I missed you, too.
Anyway. So, yeah, so we're thinking Sterling is probably going to try his very hardest to be on the Nightmare on Elm Street review episode that we've been promising, which is going to be interesting, because he's going to be sort of a counterpoint to me. Because basically, if it's left up to me to review that movie, it's going to be nothing but, like, you know, rah! Movie did bad! Data smash!
That's all right. I'll just Bill O'Reilly it and mute your microphones when you start to get all grumbly.
No, because then I won't have anything to say. Oh, I see your point. So anyway, Sterling Gates, coolest person in the entire world. Just saying.
Rock on.
And so then I get in line. I was going to say Will Wheaton, but I think I met Geoff Johns first.
So then you got in line for Geoff Johns.
Oh no, I did Geoff Johns before Sterling. I don't even know anymore. My brain's all discombobulated.
So then you got in line for Geoff Jacks.
That was last.
Oh.
I'm telling it backwards. A wizard.
Well, your story, you tell it.
I tell however I want, bitch. I will say that on the way to Geoff Johns' line, I ran into a guy who was wearing a Three Wolf Moon t-shirt. It's, you know, one of the typical nerd-looking guys, you know, not that incredibly attractive, but I accosted him and I applauded his shirt and I go, oh god, I can't resist you, you are so sexy, and he got the joke and laughed and walked on.
Well, that's the whole point of wearing the Three Wolf Moon shirt.
I'm aware of that, but if he was just a little bit more into the Three Wolf Moon aura, don't you think he would have, like, asked me for my number?
Aren't you wearing a wedding ring?
Well, it's not like he saw that. Shut up. I'm just saying.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, girl. I love you. Right. You know, he pissed me off the other day. We were walking down Decatur Street on our way to meet another fan, Wombat Girl.
Our leader of our fangirl nation.
She's our very first fangirl, that's right. So, hi, Gwen. And we went to go meet her, and she was super nice. How come all of our fans are so nice?
Are you complaining?
Not at all.
Please don't start complaining, because then
I'm not complaining
get the
at all.
Fans.
It's just you usually get, like, you know, a couple of assholes, but we haven't seen them since episode 7.
Well, maybe we scared them off with all of our awesome guests.
Yeah, maybe. Haha, suck it. But anyway, so we're passing this sex shop, right, Mr. Binky's, and I go, "Hey, Carl."
Wait! I'm gonna derail your. There's a sex shop named Mr. Binky's.
Oh, totally.
I can't decide whether that's completely awesome or really disturbing.
You need to come down and visit.
Mr. Binky's.
Mr. Binky. Very pop. There's chains of them down here around New Orleans. That's a chain store. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, think about what you're saying right now.
What can I say? I love my porn. So, I go up to Carl. I go, hey, Carl, do you want me to buy a French maid outfit? And he goes, only if you clean in it. Face punch! Asshole! Why would you do that? Why would you do that to me? If your girlfriend was sitting there being all like, I'm going to put on a French maid outfit and sex you up, and you're like, clean the house. Fuck you! What a cock. Oh my god. So anyway, oh, yeah, getting back to the con.
So, okay, so now this podcast is turning into the marriage ref. Let me go call Jerry Seinfeld.
I will kick your ass. That is a show that just should not be.
Oh.
That and Jersey Shore. You know, there's actually a club down here in New Orleans, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but there's a sign on it that says, if it's on the shore, it doesn't come through the door, and they are banning anybody who looks like they're wearing anything from Jersey Shore, and I want to go so bad just to give them my money, or Carl's money, and just be like, yes!
That's awesome.
I love you. That's the best thing ever.
Did you know that they're casting here in Chicago for a local variation of that? It's going to be called Southside. It's going to be filled with nothing but Sox fans. It's going to be horrible.
Your mom's going to love it.
My mom's a Cubs fan. My mom is a Northsider.
That was sarcasm.
Wow. That's original.
So anyways, they're getting back to the con. I get up to Jeff Johns. This guy in front of me has, like, seriously, 30 books that the poor guy had to sign. So I'm up there. I've got my one copy of Blackest Night, number one. I go, you're going to love me. I just bought one. So he signs it. And there was something that I wanted to say to Jeff Johns that I got to say, and it really meant a lot to me. And it was, I told him that I had, you know, the really bad panic disorder. And ever since Jeff created the Blue Lanterns are hope in the emotional spectrum. For those of you who don't follow Green Lantern, there's more than just Green Lanterns, and there's an emotional spectrum of color. You kind of had to be there. Red is rage, orange is greed, yellow is fear, green is willpower, blue is hope, indigo is compassion, and violet is love. And there's also Black Death and White Life and blah, blah, blah. But that's going on right now in the Green Lantern books, which you really ought to pick up because they're fantastic. So I've sort of, like, clicked onto the Blue Lanterns because there's this hope, and their mantra is, all will be well. And that has really helped me, like, get through things like, oh, I don't know, a 7-hour plane ride, etc., with a screaming baby on it, you know? It's just really helped me kind of cope with my anxieties, the whole Blue Lantern Corps motto. And I just really, really wanted to say that to his face, and I did. And, you know, he seemed really touched, and that pleased me. So, you think comics aren't worth anything? Sometimes they're better than, you know, real life people. So anyway, that was Saturday. And also Saturday was when I met Will fucking Wheaton. I was in line. And then it was my turn. And I actually had, like, when I was 20 feet away from him, I started really freaking out really bad. And I knew it was going to happen, so I had an extra Klonopin in my pocket. So I had to ask a complete stranger, like, two people ahead of me. I go, this is going to be a really weird and creepy request. Can I please, please, please have a sip of your root beer because I'm freaking out because of Will Wheaton proximity and I need to take my anxiety pill? She let me. Oh, I'm going to get con herpes. But, yeah, thank you, mysterious stranger, for your root beer so I could calm the fuck down and not make an ass of myself in front of Will Wheaton. And I didn't. I went up to him and I said, hi, I'm Dana. I want to say something cool, witty, and interesting, but my brain is completely fangirling you right now. And he said, that's okay, you're doing fine. So I bought a copy of Sunken Treasure, and he autographed that. And then he autographed my copy of Just a Geek, and it says, to Dana, way to fail, your will save. get it? Because it's his name.
Dana?
Yes?
Breathe.
No.
Breathe.
I don't like doing what you tell me. So anyway, so then I said, do you remember your geeks group on Propeller? The girl who rolled diplomacy versus the dire rat? And instantly he goes, that was you? That was badass! And Will fucking Wheaton high-fived me. He remembered me. It was so cool. I'm sorry.
So all you people who get all just really, really just, what's the word? Jazzed that we respond to you on Twitter and respond to you in the LiveJournal community. This just goes to show, we're fans too.
Magnify that by about 10,000 million bazillion. But I kept it in. I kept it in front of Will. And if he listens to this episode, because I gave him a pin and wrote down episode 5 on the back of the promo card, so he would listen to the D&D thing. So if he listens to this one, he's going to know that I, you know, when I said my brain was fangirling him, I wasn't kidding. So I asked him if he would bless my D20. I brought my green one, Kevin. I said bless. And he said, I would be happy to bless your die. And I couldn't remember exactly what he was saying because I was busy dying. But it was like something along... So I posted a video that some guy... I guess he's been doing this for a couple of years. I thought I was being original. And of course not, because I thought of it. he was like, by the Gygaxian fires forged in Mount Polyhedra, you know, may this die always roll 20s, and may you never fail your daily power, or something like that. And so the die was blessed, and I now refer to it as the relic. You cannot look at the relic. You cannot touch the relic. You may not even point at the relic. That is enough pointing. If you even breathe on it, I cut you. But when we get together again and we start playing the game again, Adam, I am going to bust out the relic whenever shit gets real. That's what I'm going to do. Whenever I desperately need to make a save or get a really high number on a check.
Shit just got real, Frank.
The shit just got real. I'm going to say, guys, I'm going to bust out the relic.
That sounds really, really dirty.
I don't want to know what you call your penis.
Good night, everybody.
So, yes, so Will Wheaton recognized me from the podcast, and he left my D20, and then he hugged me. He hugged me. I said thank you for everything, and he gave me a hug, and it was the coolest thing ever. And so that was the best day of my whole life, and if anybody was going to murder me, they can do that now, and I won't care. I was like, I don't care if my plane crashes. I'm going to die happy. So, you know, the next day was just like taking pictures of things and watching him do Rock Band. And I got a couple videos of that, but they're not mine because my cell phone sucks. And, you know, and there was one girl. I can't believe I didn't put this on my camera because I'm an idiot. But my camera sucks, and I wanted a good picture. And she took my picture of me and Will. And Will and I, what kind of grammar Nazi am I? And she has the Made a Fail email address, and she never emailed it to me. So, wonderful person who took my picture with Will, if you are out there, could you please send it to made_of_fail@yahoo.com? Pretty please. I'd really like that picture. Not for nefarious purposes at all. So that was my ECCC, and that's why it was awesome, and that's why Evie and everybody else there were awesome. And, yeah, I'm just kind of, yeah. Will Wheaton. Wheaton. Oh, he's going to listen to this, and I'm going to be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
How was your week?
Pretty awesome.
Do tell.
Actually. Well,
I haven't actually talked to you for a while, so this
it's,
is...
It's not as... I wouldn't say it's as eventful as all that, but I've been spending time with certain special someone who, interestingly enough, had heard of the show before I even talked to her.
Bullshit. She heard of Cleo.
No. Well, no. Yes, but No, she had actually recognized the show.
Oh, right. Oh,
she was not a listener. She's not a listener. So I was out. This was actually Valentine's Day. And this was a girl that I had met once before, and I was hanging out with a group of my friends, and she was there, and I was talking to her, and she mentioned how she and her friends really, really loved listening to the riff tracks of Twilight, and they were just totally ripping on New Moon, and I was like, well, you know, have you ever read any of the recaps by Clea Linda? And she's like, Clea Linda Jones? I read her all the time. I said, well, you know how sometimes she'll mention a podcast that she's on every once in a while? And she's like, yeah, I know. I've never listened to it, but I've been meaning to. I was like, yeah, that's mine.
I can see you like, yeah, I'm kind of a big deal on the internet. Buffing your nails on your shirt, pulling your collar.
I got to use the show to impress a girl. How is that possible?
We impress girls? You impressed a girl?
I know! And the fact that and I used the show to do it, I mean, seriously, what the hell?
That's up there with Adam Has Fangirls.
Adam has a Scottish fangirl, and that beats me in all respects.
Harmony has minions? And ruffles have ridges. Oh, excuse me. That was sexy. I'm a lady. It's just water.
So she's an awesome geek, and I asked her out that day. And, ladies and gentlemen, she said no.
Why isn't this an awkward moment?
Completely shut me down. Just like, no, I think you're just a really, really awesome person. In fact, I would really, really love to just hang out and be friends with you, but I just don't date. So I was like, okay, well, fine. So
it's still a plus.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, then I've got this awesome new friend, which, hey, how could that hurt? So hung out with her a couple more times. And let's just say she asked me if that offer was still valid.
I'm done. That's all.
So that's been my month and a half.
Yeah, which is why I haven't talked to you for a month and a half.
Been a little incommunicado.
That's what she said.
Hey, you know, I was perfectly willing to talk to you when you called. You seem to have a knack for always calling at the most inopportune times. Like, no matter what, like, you always call right when Tessa and I are in the middle of a Buffy episode. You always call, like, when it's 11 o'clock and I'm in bed.
I have inconvenience Kevin Dar.
It's seriously.
The 11 o'clock thing, I was still on Pacific time, and it completely just slipped my mind that I was on Pacific.
And you know, it was fine. I give you crap about that, but it's fine. There's a reason why I leave my phone on at all times, so.
Sorry, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's fine. So.
Oh!
But yeah, so that's, and she's listening right now, so. Hi.
Hey, tricky girl.
Sorry.
Yeah, she better listen now. I'm just saying. Not
that's
that I'm
okay,
threatening.
I never had fangirls aside from Emily anyway, so.
Never
nobody
a fangirl
disappoint,
that
hey.
Just, like, you know, girled you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're so proud. Oh, so I finally got a copy of Guards from Other Dana.
Okay, and, so that means that I don't need to send you mine.
No, you don't. But I'm about 10 pages in. It's kind of going a little fast for me. I'm new to this whole Pratchett way of writing.
Terry Pratchett does have, and I mean, I love his writing, but sometimes he does have pacing issues.
It's not so much a pacing issue as it's just he just like kind of jokes at breakneck speed, and sometimes
he's got a really high JCAM. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know what it's like when real people listen to us.
Yeah. So it's like rapid fire. Gotta love his footnotes. I don't know if you've noticed this yet or not. It took me like halfway through the first time I read a Discworld book, and then I was like, wait a minute, this is a really long. There's no chapters in here, is there?
Oh, so, no, I haven't. Like I said, first 10 pages.
Yeah, so there are no chapters. It'll just keep going.
Oh, where am I going to know how to fold the pages?
At the part that you stop reading at? There are section breaks. There's always section breaks in between, you know, the different perspectives. Because what he does,
they're authors
that they, when they write from a third person perspective, they kind of take a third person omniscient and they keep jumping from one person to the next, and you get to hear like everybody's thoughts in one scene, and that really throws me off. Terry Pratchett, well, sometimes, very, very rarely, he will slip into that, but he'll. What I love to do when I'm writing, what I love when other people write, is a third-person limited perspective, where you've got a section where it's the perspective of one character, it's third-person, but you only see things from that perspective until there's a very definite break, like a double spacing, or a new completely new paragraph, or a new chapter, or some other just... You can definitely tell it's a definite break in the writing.
Do you know who did that really? Do you know who did that really, really well? David Eddings. You can see it in the Belgariad. I mean, because there were so many important characters. I mean, he was masterful at like changing perspectives with certain story beats. Like, this is when you need to hear from Sinedra. This is when you need to hear from Polgara. This, you know.
Because I've been reading Dune, and I know I'm late on the bandwagon, but I just started reading Dune now. I actually got through the first four books just recently. It's the other reason why nobody's heard from me is because I've been reading new things that I haven't read before. And while it's a really, really awesome story, it really, really bugged me where you could hear three people's thoughts in the same paragraph. It's like, don't do that. So... third person limited, that's how I write, and that's how I feel the story flows better. Anyway.
Oh,
continue.
Speaking of books.
Yes.
Guess what they're doing? Did you ever read Christopher Pike?
No.
No.
What has he written?
Oh, he was a big, like, have you heard of R.L. Stine?
Yes.
Okay, he was like the other guy who wrote like slightly higher age, you know, range for
okay, I wasn't into horror until I got into high school.
Okay, I totally was. I mean, my whole middle school years, I was just reading so much friggin' Christopher Pike. I had every single one. Big fan. And he wrote this series called Last Vampire, which I loved. Six books. She doesn't fucking sparkle. She can walk around in the daylight. She's perfectly fine. Sometimes she sweats blood, but whatever. But she's really awesome. She's like this ancient Indian vampire. Not like Native American Indian. I mean like Indian. And there's this whole big mythology thing into it, and it's really hard to sum up. You know, the first three books in the series are a little bit more like modern, you know, like how she's, you know, doing in the modern era, and then the last three sort of get kind of esoteric, which is something that Christopher Pike started doing. Like, I guess maybe it was halfway through doing the Last Vampire series, he started doing like all these, you know, mythological. He's got
world building, basically.
No, not world building. More like drawing on the mythologies of our world. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
the
he
adaptation.
Also does
recontextualization.
Sure. Whatever you said. But he also does. He's got certain themes that I've noticed that go throughout his books when he wasn't trying to just ape a certain style of like, you know, here's a, you know, horror murder mystery thing. You know, that was just like, you know, the junk food. The meat of Christopher Pike is when he starts getting into, like, themes such as humans being taken over by either something, or, you know, it's like, you know, humans will be their own demise and it's going to come back to haunt them now, or some sort of time travel thing going on, or just like, humans being destroyed, either from within or from without, or being mutated, or becoming something else is basically like what a lot of what he likes to do, and he does that a lot later. But anyway, so The Last Vampire is a really popular series of his, and they're doing a seventh book coming out. I don't know when. You can see it on Amazon, and I'm gonna link to that. I don't know when it's coming out, but he's doing it. It's gonna be called Eternal Dawn, and I'm really worried about how it's gonna turn out because they really, really wrapped up Sita's story in the last one. And I don't want to wreck it. I'm not going to wreck the ending, but I don't really see how he's going to bring her back for an encore. But if he pulls it off well, I mean, this is the... I haven't heard hide nor hair of this writer for, you know, since I was in high school. So I'm really excited to hear what he's got to write. And they're collecting omnibi of his more popular works. Like, they're doing, you know, two volumes of Last Vampire. They're doing the Remember Me trilogy. I'm just really excited. I want to really get back into it because, you know, I'm pushing 30. Yeah. And I'm still interested in his books. I don't want to turn 30, Kevin. No.
Do what I told you. Say it's your second annual
29th birthday. Right, yeah.
I'm glad you started using that now, though.
I was thinking about doing that before you told me to, but it's just kind of pissing me off. But it's also giving me sort of an excuse to really kind of milk my friends and family for presents. Get me the PS3!
Which you unashamedly do.
Well, if...
You have no shame.
If 10 people send me $30 a piece, I can...
Oh, don't say that on the air. People will actually do that.
I want my actual friends and family to do it. This is not a fan present grab. I don't want a fan present grab unless it's chocolate. But I really...
Well, here's what you can do. If you really want to do something for Dana's 30th birthday...
Send me an e-card.
E-cards, we've got our email addresses in the show notes, and if you really, really want to spend money, then back at one of our Christmas episodes, we do have a list of
donate to the Humane
our favorite
Society.
Charities, the American Cancer Association, the ASPCA, all of those.
Definitely, yeah, Humane Society, ASPCA. You can even do that in, like, you know, Kyle the Wonder Kitty's name.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, our little mascot. There was one more thing I wanted to mention. Two more things I want to mention before we get to the fan mail. Enver Jokai from Dollhouse is writing and starring in a new web series that comes out, what's tomorrow, the 22nd? The 22nd,
yes.
On funnierdie.com. And it's called Previously on Point Doom. And this is the coolest premise, right? It's like... It's a fake soap opera, okay? And it's sort of Twin Peaks meets Clue is what he describes it as. And he says that if you haven't heard of either of those, then you've got more problems than worrying about what my web series is about. But the whole thing is just like, you know how on soap operas they have that previously on Guiding Light or whatever? The whole web series is just going to be previously on clips. And you get to see, like, the plot unfold, and it has an actual plot, but it's going to unfold through nothing but previously on clips. There will never be an actual episode of the soap opera. It's just going to be like...
Nice.
Yeah, it's really...
It's actually really clever.
Yeah. Do you know what else is clever? At no point does Enver Jokai wear a shirt. Sold! So shallow.
Hey, he knows how to pander to his demographic.
It's going to work. You got one already. I'm very happy with that.
That's like that's basically like, okay, Baywatch didn't have a plot, but guess what? It didn't need it.
Boobies. And the other thing I wanted to mention is there's a podcast I've been listening to that our first fan, Noel, actually pointed out to me. Noel, thank you so friggin' much, dude. I've been listening to this like crazy for the past few weeks, and every week until the new Nightmare on Elm Street remake comes out.
You need one of those Splatoon dings.
Ding. The Now Playing podcast is doing a Nightmare on Elm Street recap for every movie in the series. They just got to Dream Warriors as of this recording. I really, really can't wait to see what they do with Freddy's Dead. But yeah, it's been great.
It'll be like a 3-second recap. Maggie's magical 3D glasses. And that's all you need to know.
No, it's going to be more like
or like the bat symbol going in and then out.
No.
But with Freddy's
face. What did you call it? Acme Freddy? It really is. It really is like, but it's not the worst one in the series, because at least you can laugh at it, but we'll get into that.
No, two's the worst one.
No, 2 is hysterical. 5's the worst one. It has no redeeming qualities whatsoever, but we'll get into that.
No, it's got one redeeming quality.
Alice?
Well, okay, so it's got 2 redeeming qualities.
Alice's boobs?
It's got 4 redeeming qualities.
Okay. What was your redeeming quality of a...
You can sing Aha's Take on Me over one of the kills.
Oh, right. Oh, you know what my favorite part was? That I could turn it off. Ooh.
5 redeeming qualities.
Ooh. All right, we'll get into that in May's episode.
Yes.
So why don't we go ahead on to our fan mail for this month?
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
All right, we've got actually another fair amount of fan mail. You guys are just completely awesome, continuing
thank you.
Over and over again. So thank you so much. Got one here from Kayla. She says, "Can I just say that I love, love, love that Mars Girl was on your last podcast? I'm of the opinion that she doesn't get nearly the recognition she deserves, and she'd love to hear that, so I hope that she continued listening after she was on.
I actually emailed that portion of your email to her. I hope you don't mind. I just
excellent.
Thought...
Excellent. She is easily one of my favorite people to watch, maybe because she isn't quite as stylized. Though don't get me wrong, I love just about everyone on That Guy with Glasses crew. I just like me some down-to-earthness, too. I know I've written before, but I just need to say again, you guys are easily my favorite podcast ever. You have dethroned Ask a Ninja.
No!
Holy shit.
No! Bull.
Yeah, that's right. You guys are better than ninjas.
Lies.
Okay, now that's debatable, but thank
Nothing
you anyway.
Ninjas.
in the pirate versus ninja fight, you always forget the cowboy in the trifecta.
I'm
pirate,
on
ninja, cowboy.
I'm on Team Ninja. I think I just lost a whole bunch of fanboys, but I'm Team Ninja. Anyway, keep going with our email.
Anyway, have either of you come across a thing called Mark Reed's Twilight? I've actually heard of it. I haven't checked it out yet. It is awesome and made of Wynn. And she gives a link. I figure if there were ever 2 people who would enjoy these, it would be you 2.
Hey, do you know what would be really great? Kevin keeps reading Twilight and posting his reactions like everybody wanted him to.
Although, to be fair, I haven't done so in like 6 months.
Yeah, I think you broke.
No, I'll get back to it at some point.
All right.
On another matter, I feel the need to apologize since I seem to have come across as one of those fans.
No.
Wasn't getting that at all. But anyway, I tend to lurk on the internet and then totally forget that while I read, watch things that people do, most people don't have a chance to get to know me at all. I think that a lot of people kind of forget themselves a little bit on the net in that way. All of this to say that, well, I'm sorry for my seemingly random drive-by replies on Twitter. Don't worry about that. That's the whole point of Twitter, is the random drive-bys, and then just be sure to participate every once in a while. I'll do random hashtag things like mixed-up pickups, and, which are always fun. And
hey, you got nice legs. You know where they'd look better? On my bedroom floor in the morning.
Hey, you know, that was my favorite one I wrote. So.
That was my favorite one that you wrote. I dare you to try that sometime.
I'll do that on Trekkie Girl, see if she likes it.
Okay.
Although she's listening, she knows to expect it now.
Damn it. Christmas.
I love what you guys do, and you're a very accessible bunch. It feels like an honor to get to hear you guys talk about things that are right up my alley. Also, Dana, welcome to the Goram Browncoats.
You can't take the sky from me.
Much fangirly love, Kayla. Thank you so much.
And I hope nobody ever feels bad about just randomly saying things to us on Twitter.
No, we love that. We absolutely
Especially
love that.
Especially me, because I live on the internet. And the most important part is I'm an egotist. So, yeah, I've got a form spring, too, and it's sadly sitting there at 0. But anyway, enough about me for, 10 seconds? Okay, we got one here from Jamie, and he says, "Dear awesome hosts of the show, I'm a long-time listener, having started way back in late 2008. Has it really been that long?
Yeah, we're coming up on 2 years now.
Oh my god, I feel so old. When you had Linkara on to talk about Atop the Fourth Wall. And although I have not heard all of your episodes, I've heard most of them. I love the discussion on Twilight in episode 10, as well as the discussion of movie stars and other celebrities setting up boundaries in episode 23. It made me think about how I would react amongst some of the celebrities I would like to meet, especially since I'm going to have that chance very soon. I'm volunteering at a con up here in Calgary, Alberta, where Leonard Nimoy will be showing up, and at the most, I would like to thank him for all the wonderful entertainment he's provided over the years. I've just finished listening to your latest episode with Mars Girl, and in listening to the discussions of anime and on first viewings of it, made me think back to what I watched, and how I would set my VCR to record Sailor Moon whenever I was working at my job, watching the 80 series of Astro Boy, and of the marathons my anime club and university would hold. Let me tell you, nothing drains your spirit like watching all 24, possibly 26, episodes of Evangelion in a row, with only an hour break at the 12-episode mark. Evil Steve, the vice president of the club, stood up after the last episode, a look of total shock on his face, and proclaimed, "What the hell?"
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
However, one thing that came to mind as I was finishing/listening to your latest episode was the topic of geek cred. I've read many a blog by fangirls who were tested on their knowledge of this or that, as though they had to prove to stupid fanboys that they were indeed for real. Why not just squeeze their boobs while you're at it? I've also encountered geeks who were absolutely dumbfounded that I did not read all of the Lord of the Rings books, or Watchmen, or this or that, like it was a black mark against my being a geek. I felt it bad enough that I've rebelled, outright refusing to read Watchmen when the movie came out, and enjoying the movie on its own merits. The same goes for Kick-Ass, mostly because I hate Mark Miller as a writer, but I also don't think I'll be seeing the movie, not if it's going to be as insulting to comic book fans as I've heard the book is. Maybe it's for the older generation, I'm 31, but there still seems to be this attitude of having to read this or that in order to qualify as a true geek. It's not based upon if a story is good or not, and what's worse, it's an unspoken attitude that ticks me off to no end. If someone tells me I have to read, listen, or watch such and such just because, rather than based upon the quality, I will flat out refuse, because I've gone through enough peer pressure in high school. For example, I refused to read The Lord of the Rings because everyone said I should, but a couple of friends told me about the quality of the series, so I gave it a try. I quite enjoyed The Hobbit, but good lord, getting through the Lord of the Rings books is a slog through a thick mucky mud of boredom. I've given up on it entirely, convinced that while J.R.R. Tolkien was a great linguist, he wasn't a good storyteller. Apologize.
I will jump in here and say that it took me 2 tries to get through all Lord of the Rings, and the first time that I put it down was right in the middle of Two Towers, so I feel
read it. And everyone I know is going to be so shocked at that, because I'm a huge fantasy fan, and I've never read Papa Tolkien aside from The Hobbit. So anyway, let's finish off Jamie's letter. Apologies for this letter getting a tad long, but that's how I feel, and I believe it would make for an interesting, intelligent discussion between the crew members of the USS Maida Vale. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Yours truly, Jamie Jeans. And no, I'm not a girl, I'm a guy. Trust me, that mistake happens often.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't know what I dropped there, but let's pretend it was Adam. Okay, your turn.
All right, we got a frequent emailer, Ro, here, and Ro says, "Hey, fail folk, it was really amusing listening to you talk about anime and where you got your first fixes, but I wanted to go through with you my anime experience, as it's been a key part of my life since I was small, going back to my early childhood in California. My first anime, Brave Raideen, followed by Kimba the White Lion." And we'll go ahead and give links to those, both of those. This was when I was 4 years old. From there, from 7 to 9, it was Battle of the Planets, Super Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, and Star Blazers, or formerly known as Yamato. In junior high, it was Captain Harlock and the Queen of a Thousand Years, Thunderbirds 2086, and Robotech. Ah, the Harmony Gold years. I went to a comic book store event where Phil Foglio was showing the trailer for the Robotech movie, also known as Megazone 23. It was at that time I discovered that this was all from Japan, and at the time it was called by fans as Japanimation. I'm old enough to remember the transition from Japanimation to anime.
Oh god, that's right.
Back in the day, seeing any anime was by being a member of a fan club, where they'd watch untranslated beta tapes of shows like Yurusei Yatsura and Bubblegum Crisis. My anime club at high school had serious battles over access to material. Around that time, I was reading fan translations of Ranma, which was the thing. It was then that anime started to get distributed more broadly, and collecting VHS tapes was my passion, and I became the hardcore anime geek that I am now. These days, because of the sheer volume that's out there, I tend to choose series by their production house. Groups like Production IG, Bones, and Madhouse will always get top marks from me, as well as Clockworks, the ones who produce Lucky Star and Haruhi. I know I'm taking my chances with Gonzo, and Gainax, I have to accept the bounce factor. One of my favorite comic creators, Leia Hernandez, was the US rep for Gainax back in the 80s. Anime for me was a world all my own. It was stories and issues and escapism that I had, but others didn't. Where the sci-fi and fantasy of my youth was very masculine and violent, anime had a connection to emotion. Man or woman, anime characters could express their feelings and did so for a heightened context. For a fae critter confused about their sexuality, this was a gold mine. When it became mainstream, I was surprised but pleased because others were seeing the world I enjoyed. I feel so old when people talk about it, but I'm kind of proud to have been immersed in its history for so long. It has broadened my friendships, given me access to other worlds of fashion, culture, and music, and has clearly influenced my writing. A final context. As a gay man, the references to lifestyle and butt sex were more than a little grating. I don't care if I sound politically correct, but the torture I went through coming to terms with myself and my identity wasn't a lifestyle choice. And the resolution of that torment, the happy life I have with my boyfriend, is about a bit more than butt sex. You all are known for being crass as hell, and that's fine, but I felt that whole segment was beneath you guys. With regards, Ro. I just want to go ahead here and say that I do apologize if anything we said was inflammatory or offensive. Anything, I mean, of all people, the two of us really, really don't intend to offend anybody in regards to their own sexuality, because it's really just, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this. I just want to say.
Do you want to pull the We Have Gay Friends card?
I can do, you know, some of our best friends are gay. But that would
girls.
Be a bit.
No big deal. I don't think we ever even said, you know, choice. I think we were just sort of pounding on yaoi, really, more than anything.
As far as, and it's not even that, it was more just the crazy fandom thereof. And
yeah, I think, yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah,
and
never. We would never, ever insult anybody for their sexuality.
We know it's
not a choice. We know it's not. I mean, come on. You guys know us better than that. I don't think we said anything particularly offensive, but if you were hurt, I'm sorry.
We do apologize.
You might not want to listen to, yeah, I said it. I mean, they say way more offensive things about gays, and they are gay.
Anyway, thank you for writing in, and as always, you know, continue listening, and we will hang out again at some point, I do promise. Actually, Adam's coming up to visit in May. If you wanted to, you know, get something together, but I'll talk to you in a non-public fashion about that. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to this one from Danielle. There's actually two from Danielle, but one's a PS, so I'm just going to kind of mush them together. Dear Kevin and Dana, my reaction to the latest issue of Buffy, Kermit Flail! So I got through the Buffy comics up to Twilight Part 1. Anybody who hasn't read Buffy 33, I warn you right now. Major, major, spoiler warning. In 3, 2, 1. And I thought, I wonder why Angel and or Spike have not made an appearance. Then I finished the Angel DVDs and got the first two trade paperbacks of the comics. Oh, I thought, that would be why. Then I read Twilight Part 2. Cute, loud exclamations of, what?! With a couple of whys thrown in. Thanks for your warning, by the way. I probably would have spoiled myself for the big reveal otherwise. That was by way of being a clever segue into the next thing I wanted to say. It's fun to see how they're exploring different storytelling opportunities presented now that they're in the comic book medium rather than television. The Twilight plot arc and big reveal would never, ever have worked on television the way it did in the comics. The moment they tried to put a character like that on screen for an extended length of time and give him that much dialogue, the game would be up. Similarly, they'd have a hell of a time getting something like Giant Dawn versus Mechadonzilla on screen, which was awesome. Whereas comics have what amounts to a limitless effects budget.
I just want to say that if they had produced that in a more visual media,
would have been the greatest episode ever.
That would have been the best episode ever, seriously. Why do you have a tail?
What was that one thing she said? Like, I enjoy blue jeans and moping about boys, or something like that.
Something along those lines. I just love how Andrew was like,
okay,
you want to know how I know about this? I've
Go
been training for, this my entire
my whole life. I suppose I'll get caught up on the Angel comics while I wait for the next issue of Buffy to be released. Living in Australia, I might have to resort to eBay. Again, I blame Made a Fail and Linkara for my expensive new interest in comics. Don't go to eBay, just they're released on Amazon in trade pretty quickly, so just do that. It'll be a lot less expensive for you.
Well, it depends on Amazon's distribution in Australia, is what she's saying.
Oh, okay.
Now, I do know that there are some comics distributors that are are mailing subscriptions out on their own. I know DC does that. I'm pretty sure Marvel does that. I don't know if Dark Horse, which is...
Well, IDW's doing the Angel one.
Okay, but I don't know if Dark Horse, which is doing Buffy, or IDW, which is doing Angel, are do their own mail-out subscriptions.
I'm pretty sure they do. Check the Indicia in the book.
Again, and also, I'm not sure what their international distribution is, so... but
check your local website!
Yes.
Alright, lastly, something which I imagine Kevin already knows, but just in case. The TV miniseries adaptation of Going Postal comes
out
this weekend in the UK, and I think airs fairly soon after that in the US. There are some promotional pictures on the Sky One website.
So excited about this, you have no idea. Going Postal is, and I don't want to ruin this for you, Dana, because you're just now getting into Discworld.
I don't really...
No. I'm just gonna say the Moist von Lipwig books are phenomenal. He actually does chapters in this, and I think Going Postal has one of the best pacing in the entire series. Terry Pratchett does, like I said earlier in the episode, he does suffer from a few pacing issues in some of his books.
Mm-hmm.
Going Postal is phenomenal as far as that goes, and it's. If anybody's ever seen, your favorite con man comedies like Ocean's 11 or, God, what was the British one that I was watching with
Search Me,
Jen and Rue.
Don't worry about it.
Kind of like that, but on TV. Anyway, I'll remember the name like half an hour after we're done recording. Anyway, it's like that in book form. It really is.
Okay, well, anyway, she says, Moist von Lipwig is being played by Richard Coyle, who most people will probably remember as Jeff from Coupling.
Nice.
If you've seen Coupling,
really
you have to check it out. It was written by the new head writer of Doctor Who, Stephen Moffat, and is the funniest show you'll ever see. One of the episodes also contains Jack Davenport, Commodore Norrington from Pirates of the Caribbean, doing the only convincing Australian accent I've ever heard from someone not born here. Well, that's all from me. Well, sort of, not really. Let me get to her P.S. P.S., something I forgot to say before. Well, I think Buffy's comments in the most recent issue were referenced to Sparklepire Twilight. I'm sure the name was originally a total coincidence. It was. I'm fairly sure, too, that the vampy cats who were working with Twilight and taking over girls' brains to make them say things like, girls shouldn't fight, we should kiss boys and have their babies, were also a total coincidence. However, this just makes it 10 times funnier.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was raised to believe that the men dig up the corpses and the women have the babies.
PPS, Doctor and Rose cameo for the win.
That was nice. That was absolutely nice. Also, anyway.
All right.
Thank you for writing in, Danielle.
All right.
I've got...
DK.
One from someone who signs her email, Valkyrie. She says, Dear Maid of Failers, I would like to say... that I come to you as a pure fan, unsullied by outside influence, but alas, I found you all through Cleolinda.
Sullied!
Take a shot.
Take a shot.
I'm not writing for any particular specific comment on the blog or the podcast. I love them all, even when you're talking about things I have no knowledge of, like the manga episode. Hayao Miyazaki is about as deep as I get into anime. Warriors of the Wind was my favorite movie as a child, gutted and soulless as it was in comparison to Nausicaa, the Valley of the Wind. I am a Pratchett fan, having glommed into the series when I lived in Ireland. A couple years ago, Hurricane Ike did a funny kind of whiplash up into St. Louis, and there was a flood and a subsequent sewage overflow that claimed over half my Discworld collection. The UK Corgi covers too. That's a terrible blow. Spurred on by your book podcast, I started filling in the gaps. I got my roommate addicted. Mwahahahahaha. I mean, yay. I just finished Carpe Jugulum, one of my favorite of the Witch thread. The Witch is a Lanker, one of my favorites too. Anyway, so I read this again after the whole Twilight series came out. I imagined the Magpires as the Cullens, Vlad as Edward, Lacrimosa as Rosalie, or whatever the hell LeBlanc's name is, Rosalie. God, why am I correcting or confirming? That's horrible.
It could be Esme.
And no, because the Count and Countess as Dr. and Mrs. Cullen. Various other mentioned vampires were other family members and or vampires. I almost fainted, I was laughing so hard. Vlad had that whole love you, hate you, want to eat you thing going on with Agnes and Perdita, and it totally fit as a pre-Twilight situation, like if the Cullens lived in the Ramtops before moving to Alaska, which I really don't know how I feel about that.
Are you going to write fanfic now, Kevin?
No, 1,000 times no.
Somebody's going to now. Quantum
fanfic. It already exists. I really don't know how I feel about that. On the one hand, that would be hilarious. On the other hand,
she says next.
1,000 times no. I know it's kind of blasphemous to silly Discworld with Twilight, but I couldn't help myself. Read Carpe Jugulum again with the Magpires as the Cullens and tell me it's not even more hilarious. Pratchett with a heaping side of Schadenfreude. Delicious. P.S. I got Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief as well on the high praise over the podcasts. Haven't read it yet, though I am looking forward to it. Excellent.
I love it
Thank
when
you.
Our fans recommend things to each other, and then it's like this whole little book club community thing.
I really love that. We're having an influence, and it's not even our own influence. It's
I know!
Great.
I love
it's,
that!
It's absolutely wonderful. And we get credited for it, so hey, how's that?
I know! We get all the credit. Okay, so we got one more from Sabra again. She keeps writing in. I love her. Hey there, Made of Fail family. Thank you so much for your otaku episode. It had me in stitches. I would like to thank you for your discussion on yaoi. I will go ahead and say now that I have no issue with it if it is what the author intended. I must bring up two brain-melting issues that I'm surprised went unmentioned in relation to yaoi fans. My first issue is MPreg, which stands for male impregnation.
Mm.
Oh lordy!
That used to be really, really big.
Oh lordy, the MPreg. Where unprotected anal sex between two men rarely leads to STDs and often leads to the uke, popping out a sprog or ten. This little fad seems to be pandemic across all genres where yaoi girls and boys stake their claim. My issue with this, of course, the obvious. I have an understanding of human anatomy. Trying to read a yaoi fan explain an MPreg is like listening to a three-year-old recite Shakespeare. Brain tilt to a massive degree. In these little universes, there are still women, oh yes, but of course they are popping out children with their wives and girlfriends. My second issue has more to do with those marketing villains / geniuses who produce the anime. Fan service. Take, for instance, the L and Raito Yagami debate of the Death Note fans. Did they, or didn't they? It's easy enough to laugh it off as yaoi fans being yaoi fans with the manga. Not so much in the anime. Oh, that touching rain scene, with the dripping hair, the foot massage, the "it will be lonely, won't it" speech, etc. Subtext, oh the subtext. Enough to make even me raise an eyebrow and say, honestly? Even if the manga doesn't go there, those anime producers seem to have no issue with teasing the yaoi fans. Another fan service moment is for a gasp surprise heterosexual couple, Rukia and Ichigo of Bleach. In this case, the execs openly admit to adding hype to that because they like the pairing / fan reaction, even going so far as cutting out scenes from the manga that would lean more towards Ichigo's fangirl, Orihime. I honestly don't care either way. I read the manga I do for the storyline, not for the juicy gossip that fans make up. So yeah, just thought I would put those two points out there and ask what you, the Made of Fail crew, think about either of these. I like fan service!
It's debatable. I mean, when it's there just for the sake of being fan service, it's like, yes, I know there are breasts, we get it. Or
Final Fantasy X.
The ladies out there, yes, we know these guys have their shirts off, and it's raining. Move on.
I'm shallow. I'll take whatever I can get. I don't care, honestly. I'm kind of a horn dog. In case you haven't noticed over the last 27 episodes. but yeah,
as far as ship teasing goes, we touched upon this with actually in episode 23 when we had Cleo and Rinna on, when we were talking about basically, you know, Harry Potter fans and where they go to great lengths and that, and not only Harry Potter fans, but the discussion on wincest for Supernatural.
Oh, Lord.
And whereas, in fact, even relating to this even more, where some of the producers really just exploit the whole wincest phenomenon just to get more interest going.
See, that's why I like Joss Whedon, because he actually came out and said, bring your own subtext.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love, 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 love. You can slash whoever you want in Buffy, and although it can get squicky, it's, you know, Joss approved. So he doesn't care. He's all for it, which is cool. So he'll slip little things in here or there. I still don't know how I feel about Xander and... No, you know what? I know how I feel about Xander and Dawn hooking up. Ew. His little sister! I know she's a grown woman
and
blonde.
Well, if you look at it the other way, she's like 4 years old, so...
Petabear!
Alright, well, I do believe this brings us to an end of this episode. I would like to say thank you all once again for writing in and for listening. And
would you like
would
you like me to give out the URL and email, or would you like to?
By all means.
If you want to continue writing to us, we are at made_of_fail@yahoo.com. To visit our website, you may go to feeds.feedburner.com/madeoffail, or our LiveJournal community, where you do not need a LiveJournal account to comment, at community.livejournal.com/made_of_fail_PC, or just do a drive-by on Twitter, which we always love, @made_of_fail. And subscribe to us on iTunes, look for Made of Fail. It's free. Why not?
This has been episode 27 of Made of Fail. We've got some really exciting episodes coming up for you within the next year, so look forward to that, and have a wonderful night.
Bye!
Your friend's always honest, but you tell you the truth, they respond. On occasion, you're behaving uncouthly. Hand a dollar, clean up your act. You've got one in particular, dispenses with tax. Is it plain to your face? Is advice unimpeachable? Feel chastised, any animals teachable. Any goals reachable, let us embark. We declare, we declaim, we decry, we remark. The ethics and etiquette of yet to jump shark. Dynamite, strap, boom, but yet to set spark. With that in mind, employ each as it lingers. Keep the phrase in ready reach of your fingers, lest you forget. For a moment, the edict trap agape frozen. Pull out and read it, your friend. Consistently counsels the same, urging all dickishness struck from the game.
Your friend will declares. Don't be a dick. Your friend will.
Nicer to Will Wheaton.
The way I treat my colleagues. Wait, what?
I said you ought to be nicer to Will Wheaton.
You mean Will Wheaton?
Yes, Will Wheaton.
Why are you saying it like that?
Well, I'm just saying you should be nicer to Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton seems like a nice guy.